Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for November 16th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. By the way, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Oh, wow, man. We talked last hour about Judge Roy Moore. I have publicly endorsed Roy Moore in a written endorsement, and I do not back away from that. I know there's allegations, ladies and gentlemen. I get it, and I know the allegations continue to stack up. I understand. But I also understand we have a standard in America. Innocent until proven guilty. And you can say Roy has some inconsistencies, maybe so. And you can say the girls have inconsistencies, certainly so. However, the fact that we need to understand is this: he has not been proven guilty of anything. And I'm going to defend his right to be innocent until proven guilty. Okay, you could say, well, Sam, when the truth comes out, you're going to get egg on your face. Maybe. But not exactly, because I still stand for the principle. And if you can prove it, then I'll agree with you. Until then, I'm not going to. And I'm disappointed in everybody else who have caved. Because honesty is the issue. And we have a standard in America that is innocent until proven guilty. And that standard is one of the most unique things about the freest country on the face of the earth. All right, welcome to the broadcast. We have Pete Sapp, National Taxpayer Union, with us. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. He's president of NTU.org. Welcome, sir.
Great to be here.
What do you think of my comments on Roy Moore first?
Well, I neither defend nor attack Roy Moore. I'm frankly just concentrating on tax reform. That is all I can do right now. I can't even keep an eye on any elections going forward. I have to worry about how this bill is moving in Congress.
And that's great, but I'm talking about this idea, this standard that I'm pointing to, that people are innocent until proven guilty, sir. We got to agree with that or America's done for.
Well, there does need to be a truthful conversation.
All right. Tax reform is up. Now, here's the cool part. I got an email from you guys, and it talks about, in a recent op-ed, NTU President Pete Sapp summarized this moment perfectly. Tax reform is not about chasing unicorns, but it's instead about seizing the bull by the horns. Incredible wording. Point well taken. Catch us up.
Well, the progress of tax reform has been actually slow for month after month during this Congress, and suddenly in the space of a couple of weeks, we are now facing a vote in the House of Representatives today on a tax reform bill. It doesn't have everything we want in it. It's got a lot of what we want. It is major progress. It has a good repatriation provision in there, good rate reductions, decent simplification, relief for small businesses, and it sets us on the path to reform the Internal Revenue Service. Those are all wins for taxpayers. They're incremental wins, and they're vital.
Your headline says, let's make history. This is the most poignant part. We have the best opportunity we've had in, what, 31-plus years?
Yes, easily so. We have determined Republican leadership in Congress, a few Democrats who just might be willing to set aside partisanship and work on a bill, especially in the Senate. And, of course, President Trump seems determined as well to get this bill through. Now, we've been down this path with Obamacare repeal, but I think there is more unity now on most of the key issues than we had with Obamacare repeal. And I'm confident that today the House is going to pass its tax reform bill. Senate's going to have a different version. They're going to have to work that out through the conference process, but we are rolling.
Why can't we just have the Senate accept the House version?
They could. They could certainly take up the bill and say, all in favor, say aye. Maybe they would do that. Maybe not. That remains a decision of Senate leadership and the rank and file.
All right.
My guess is, though, that they will likely take up their own bill because they've been marking that up even as we have been discussing. In fact, the Senate has been meeting to amend their own version of their own bill.
All right, let's talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of this. Overall, we should be for it. I think it's going to improve things. It's not all that we want. One of the things that you got to understand in politics is that it is a give and a take. Sometimes it's by incremental little bit at a time do we get things accomplished. But overall, give me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Can you give me a good summary?
Sure. Let's look at the good first. Accentuate the positive. Now, we'll talk right now only about the House bill. We can certainly talk about the Senate version, but we'll try and keep it as simple as we can when we're talking about taxes. We are in the House bill streamlining the current number of tax rates from 7 down to 4. We are cutting tax rates across the board. We're going from rates of 10% all the way up to 39.6% in the current system. We are taking a new 12% rate, combining the 10 and the 15 and part of other tax rates into that so that most of middle class and upper middle class America will pay a much lower tax rate. There will be a cap on the rate that small businesses pay of 25%, along with a special 9% low rate that protects most of the income of small businesses up to about $250,000 that they might earn through the business. There is repeal of the death tax. That's phased in, of course, but that's something very important. There is a reduction in the corporate tax rate from 35% the way it is today down to 20%. Right away, those things happen, except for repeal of the death tax. You will also find an expanded child tax credit in the House bill, as well as a credit for parents in the household. So that's going to be very important. We need to remember that a tax credit, dollar for dollar, reduces your tax liability. It's not just a deduction where you're shielding part of your income from tax. So I think overall, those are the good features of the bill.
Now, and another good point, are they going to add this, I don't know how to say this, but the rejection of the Obamacare requirement to force everybody to have insurance, are they going to, is that part of it?
That is part of the Senate bill.
Okay, so that's not part of the House bill.
That's correct.
By the way, shame on the House, in my humble opinion.
Well, that's a tough call, and you're right. I wouldn't necessarily say shame, but it's kind of a missed opportunity. There was probably not as much unity in the House caucus of Republicans over whether to proceed with that, but I think that repealing the individual mandate in Obamacare is giving us upwards of $300 billion worth of additional tax relief that can be provided. And
well, and that's why I say that when you talk about that much tax relief tied with this, plus they've made, what, they voted 40-plus times to do it when they knew it wouldn't pass, and now when they get opportunities, they leave them on the table. Now, if you want to say, well, Sam, that just makes the bill too convoluted, they're leaving it out to create unity. Okay, I get that. But if you're going to do that, then we got to have single-page bills. We got to vote up and down on each piece of this thing one little bit at a time so they're clear up and down votes that the American people can understand. If we're going to have these omnibus bills, then let's at least toss that in there to say we're true to our election promises. We're true to what we've been trying to accomplish. This is not a joke. We're serious. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that it matters so much, but yet it's not part of it. There's a credibility crisis there.
Yeah, you can run into problems with that. And I also think, too, switching over into what might be the not-so-good, we've probably missed some opportunities for simplification in the system that we ought to be pursuing. I would say...
Like abolition of the IRS, for starters, you mean?
Well, right. There are things that taxpayers have wanted to see for quite a number of years. And, you know, it's interesting the interplay between the House and Senate and whose rules end up sort of filtering into the legislative process, even to the lower chamber. I mean, one reason why we're going to have to do comprehensive IRS reform separately from this bill is because of the so-called Byrd rule in the Senate, which sort of limits what might be called non-germane items on tax reduction bills. Well, I've always argued that the agency collecting the tax certainly is germane to the system, and we ought to be able to do that at once. But House and Senate rules differ. Senate rules tend to be a little stricter, sometimes to the point of being crazy, in my opinion.
And at the same time, sometimes the House, has so many factions, they struggle to get together on anything. Oftentimes, the Senate is the problem. Oftentimes, the Senate saves us. And the Senate, for example, to prove my point, the only ones really looking right now at an opportunity to reject forced Obamacare. So, interesting stuff. When we get back, we talked about the good. We're in the middle of the bad. Is there ugly? And overall, should we be for it? And do we think it's going to pass? Do we think they'll work out their differences? Do we think Donald will sign it? And do you think it'll benefit who, when, how?
Dear Christine, I wanted to write and tell you some exciting news.
What are you doing?
Oh, hi. I'm writing Christine a letter to tell her about Emily's first tooth.
At 2 o'clock in the morning?
It's a mom thing.
I'll get her.
I don't have the words to thank you for having the courage to give us our most precious gift. We can only thank you by raising her the way you'd always hoped. How'd you get her to sleep so fast?
It's a dad thing. Honey, will you tell her thanks from me?
Of course I will.
Adoption. It's about love. A message from LDS Family Services.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Congress poised to hopefully do something epic, the House working on it. This is an opportunity not to chase unicorns, but to take the bull by the horns, as Pete Sepp, our guest, president of NTU.org, National Taxpayers Union, wisely points out. So you got the good. There's a lot of good in this bill. They're simplifying the tax system to some degree. It'll save a lot of Americans a lot of money. That's great news. The bad is there's a difference between the House and the Senate, and the House version does not have the rejection of Obamacare in it. The Senate version right now does. The problem is oftentimes the Senate can be very difficult with some complicated rules, etc. But now we're talking about a little more of the bad in this thing, Pete.
Well, of course, the ultimate problem with so many tax reform bills, again, comes down to the rules and the fact that you can't necessarily make all of the package that you want permanent. Fortunately, the rate reductions that are in the bill are largely permanent, but there's one provision, and it sounds technical, but it's very important, called expensing, that really ought to be made permanent over not only the life of these bills, which is 10 years, but beyond that. Expensing is the process whereby a business, large or small, decides to declare an investment it makes and write it off for tax purposes. Well, it's really complex. How it works right now, there can be massive depreciation schedules, so you have to take 30 years to write off the value of an investment against your tax liability, some cases even longer than that. And what the House and Senate bills try to do is say, let's scrap this. We're going to have full immediate expensing for your business investments, but the bills can't carry that permanently, owing to all these scoring details of how much revenue is at stake and making sure it follows the rules that have been set down. So you're kind of diluting the economic impact of that very beneficial reform. It's not only good economically, it's good for simplifying the tax system.
All right. Where do we go from here with this? Overall, do you think it'll pass? Overall, do you think that they'll work this out? Do you think Donald will get his hope by Christmas? This is a big win or loss. Donald's going to go down in history with his first year being nothing but losses, even though there's a lot of wins nobody's covering. If this doesn't pass, they're kind of hanging their hat on a lot of this to create unity and to set the standard after Christmas for the next kind of legislative session to really either have wings to do a lot of good things or to kind of struggle in shame saying you can't get anything done, Donald. There's no unity. It's kind of an epic battle to see where we're going to go with this. Do you think that Donald will be successful, that he'll get it done before Christmas? Do you think they'll work out the bills? Do you think it'll pass, and do you think it'll be a positive for most Americans? Are we really going to do something we haven't done in 31-plus years?
Yes, I do. I am optimistic that we are going to get a bill. It won't have everything we want, but we are definitely making major progress. The House is almost certain to pass the legislation today. If it doesn't, of course, we're obviously in bigger trouble. But that will give it momentum going into the Senate, which is going to be important. We're already seeing pockets of opposition among Senate Republicans to certain parts of the bill that's in the Senate right now, their version. That's not a death knell for the Senate bill. It means that there's going to have to be more negotiation during the so-called markup process. We can get over that and make that hurdle something that is only temporary. If we do that and we get a Senate vote sometime after Thanksgiving, we might be well on our way to hammering out a common bill that both chambers can support by Christmas.
Maybe. Are you a poet, Pete? Do you write poems?
No.
All right. You need to find somebody on your staff that's a poet. I'm not a great poet, but I can start the poem for you. And it would say something like this. Betwixt Thanksgiving and Christmas, the Congress accomplished a wonderful thing. Oh, just like Santa, they bring tax savings for Americans. You know, you could start out a poem that could really hit the op-ed pages in the USA Today and everything else, and maybe even change the game towards unity.
That's right. And the next line would be, to help the new year truly ring.
Amen to that. Ring with economic prosperity for everyone, including your fling. No, all I'm telling you is you could really come up with some neat prose. I'm not good at it. I'm a much better talker than I am a writer. But the point is there's opportunities here. And I think it's going to take that kind of creative, I don't want to say cartoon, but that kind of creative writing, that kind of bringing people together, kind of do so in a fun, light, encouraging way. Do you think that's the key?
Yes, definitely so. And frankly, it was the key to success in 1986. We had Ronald Reagan, who was one of the greatest communicators of our time. He's been called that, the great communicator. Donald Trump does a good job of that and helps to motivate a lot of people, but we need more of it. And we need to tell the average American the good news that's on the way with this plan, the fact that if you're making between $50,000 and $75,000 a year, you're looking at a tax reduction of at least $1,200 a year. Lots more now that this bill is being marked up and going through the process. That's a huge tax savings. And that doesn't even count the benefit of economic growth that boosts your wages, gives you better prospects for your retirement savings to grow. All of those things are important, too.
Amen. Now, they claim that the rich are going to be benefited the most, but in my opinion, and we can talk about this, they mocked trickle-down economics. But the fact is, when a business owner has more money, he tends to pay employees more. As his business grows, other businesses that surround that business, restaurants, stores, housing, you can't deny the trickle-down effect. I'm not here to debate it and mock it. I'm here to say, you know what? You can't ignore it. It's been proven that it has reality to it.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And in fact, the most cynical observer on the scene, and by this I mean the Congressional Budget Office, Congress's budget estimating arm, that's always putting out these numbers claiming that if Republicans repeal Obamacare, the world is going to end. The most cynical of them, their analysis shows that reducing the corporate income tax rate, no other element of the package, reducing corporate income tax rates passes through to wage earners. 25% of every dollar passes
Which is huge, Pete. Let's make sure that's in context. That's huge.
Yes, it is. And to put it in further context, most economists disagree and say that that is much too modest of a number. The typical economist will tell you it's more like 60 or 75% passed through to wage earners.
All right. One concern, will these plans increase the national debt, though?
The Senate's plan has gotten a dynamic score, in other words, accounting for all the changes in behavior, impacts on higher investment, higher wages, higher economic growth, and the score comes in at about $500 billion over 10 years. Before people say, that's a lot of money.
It's nothing to speak of.
Yeah, I mean, I'll certainly agree with them, but unfortunately in Washington, D.C., that's not much at all.
Well, and the question is then, you know, hey, even if it does increase the debt, if you have a much bigger pie, so the government takes a smaller slice of a bigger pie, how much of that debt can we pay down with that much more money coming in?
Yeah, exactly so. I mean, that's how states like Wisconsin, for example, or countries like Canada have been able to tame their debt. It's through not only spending restraint, but economic growth at the same time.
All right, one last point in my mind about this. You know, I hope we don't have some Republican senators like Rand Paul and others saying that they won't jump on board for certain reasons because it could tank the whole thing. I get they're wanting to stand on principle, and I support that, and I stand on principle too. But at some point, there's got to be some negotiation that takes place, and I don't know where the rubber meets the road on that.
Yeah, and you know, Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform has been making a very important point here that in most cases, a major tax reform bill is not necessarily the only tax reform bill that we have to expect. I know since 1986, we've been very slow in making progress, but even after that tax reform bill passed, we got IRS reform in 1988. We got additional tax cuts following in the early 2000s and even in the late 1990s. So even though this will be the landmark bill, the one that makes a ton of progress, it won't stop with this bill. We can do other things next year and the year after and the year after that.
And the more we the people get involved, the greater opportunity that becomes.
Yes, exactly. You know, now is not the time to wait for the perfect bill. We've tried that for a number of years now. It hasn't worked. We need to go back to what we learned, which is do a big bill. Don't expect it to be all-inclusive, but make progress.
Amen to that. Pete Sepp, happy Thanksgiving to you and your staff. NTU.org, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Pete.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, sir.
Care.
All right, more in seconds. Sam and Kurt on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Pete Sepp was our guest the last half hour. Incredible commentary from the president of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Personal friend, doing a great job in an op-ed piece writing, listen, this tax reform thing is not about chasing unicorns, but it's about taking the bull by the horns. Spot on commentary. Boy, is he right. The House poised to do something epic. Time will tell what happens. Kurt, do you want to weigh in anything on this? I know a lot of times you're politely quiet so that, you know, Pete can get the word out the most. I try to just bring out as much as I can in these interviews. Thank you for that. But I want to give you a chance to weigh in before we move on here. Any commentary on this, Kurt?
Well, it's a key thing to bring up, at least in my opinion, that Pete reminds us that, hey, when most of us, I guess you could say that feel like we're principled, et cetera, you know, we want, hey, you know, it's got to be like this. It's got to be this, or else we're just not for it. And he reminds us that, hey, in this world we live in, we got to try to at least move things in the, in the positive direction. If not, you know, we always stay back of the bus, if you will.
And, great point. And I'm very guilty of this oftentimes, Kurt. I got to work on this. And I don't want to be compromising, but at the same time, there's got to be an opportunity for people to work together, for people to compromise, for people to, I mean, some of the founders didn't want the federal constitution or the United States Constitution because they said, look, the states lose too much power. And boy, howdy, were they right. Nevertheless, yep. We've had the freest country in the history of the world because they did exactly what you're talking about. They compromised a little bit.
Well, that's true, and I certainly would like to have everything, you know. I kind of like the one guy that said, hey, I want patience, and I want it now.
Heard that.
You know, it seems like it's not possible to do that.
Amen to that. Anyway, the House of Representatives set to vote on the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We're on the verge of accomplishing something epic if we can get it done, and Pete Sepp also wisely said, even if this doesn't have everything you want in it, even if it's not perfect, remember there's follow-up legislation that does make a difference and has done so many times in the past and can happen again. It's up to if the American people stand together in solidarity for certain solutions. All right, there's an incredible conference we've got to talk about happening tonight, Kurt. It's a conference working together to stop an Article 5 convention StandStrongForTheConstitution.com is the website. It's a Utah coalition. StandStrongForTheConstitution.com. When? Tonight. Where? The Free Enterprise Center Auditorium, Larry H. Miller Campus in Sandy, Utah. When? Today. Tonight, I should say. Thursday. Doors open at 6. Conference starts at 7. Anyway, tremendous stuff. Any comments on that, Kurt?
Yeah, I'm heading up that way, and, you know, I hope that there'll be a lot of attendees there and a lot of people that want to participate. I'm welcoming the idea of this coalition, this, you know, it seems to be an idea that has long since been needed. You have these small groups, and when I say small, I mean when compared to the majority of the American people, they're small groups, but they tend to not, you know, they'll have little disagreements with the other side or the other groups, and so then they'll say, well, I can't work with them, or I can't work with them. You know, I'm glad to see them, you know, putting a coalition together to promote the things that they can do in agreement.
You know, I'm also grateful that they brought it to our attention so that we could cover it on the radio. Again, that's what Liberty Roundtable is about. It's not about Sam and Kurt. It is about, you know what, the round table concept means that we create our own coalition of people that bring stuff to the airwaves, all in one place where you can listen to the radio and get caught up on everything happening, where you can look at the show notes if you don't have time to listen to the radio, libertyroundtable.com, and get caught up. So we'll put this in here, and here's what I put for my show notes for this conference, Kurt. I said, what? Conference working together to stop a con or Article 5. And then I give the website. StandStrongForTheConstitution.com. Where? The Free Enterprise Center. The Larry H. Miller Campus, the auditorium there. And I give the address. When? Today, Thursday. Oh, doors open at 6 tonight. Conference starts at 7. Who? Concerned Americans. Okay? So we got that in the show notes. And this is what I mean. We bring these things to the table. We brought this stuff, this event, this conference in Colorado the other day. And we had on guests about it. Now we're bringing this to the table today. And we want to do that all over the country, where we let people know who's doing what and what's happening and how we can duplicate those efforts. I hope every state builds a coalition like Utah's doing, Stand Strong for the Constitution. I hope we get that in every state, every county in the union, all 50 states, all 3,000 plus counties. Okay, we can do these things, Kurt. And this is, we hope this show acts as a catalyst to bring people together, to give people encouragement and hope and opportunities and ideas and solutions. And Liberty Roundtable Live wants to play a significant role in that. And if you say, Sam, that's a great idea, but you're just not the host, you're not good enough to get it done, fine. Replace me with somebody else who can. I'll step aside and go back to my day job. Thank you. All right. So anyway, this is critical, and I commend them for making sure that we're aware of it so we can cover it. And I highly hope everyone who can attends. Kurt?
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam. I mean, our good friend Scott Bradley will be presenting. You know, he's on with us on a regular basis, and you know, we're in communication with him very often, and we highly recommend his his stuff.
And Janine Johnson, well-known speaker.
That's right.
Isn't it Janine Johnson? No, Janine Hansen. Sorry, Janine Hansen from Nevada, well-known speaker, well-known leader down in Nevada too, making a difference. So again, we're covering Colorado, Utah, Nevada. We just covered the stuff, the Bundy Ranch stuff in Oregon and Nevada. See, we're all over the country, folks, doing a great job. We're talking about Roy Moore's case in Alabama. We're everywhere, baby. We're talking about the tax reform bill happening in D.C. Liberty Roundtable Live, folks. All right, now. There's two things that I think is epic to mention right now. The big list of 149 Trump accomplishments. Now, the mainstream press wants you to believe it's been nothing but divisions, nothing but attacks, nothing but meltdowns, that Donald has absolutely failed in an epic way. I agree there's more that I'd love to see done, Kurt. But that's flat out fake news to say that he's accomplished nothing. This headline and the details behind the headline literally prove the point, Kurt.
Well, it's very true, Sam. And by the way, this is a piece from our buddies there at the WorldNet Daily. And, you know, they're, at least in my opinion, a very good source, you know, for getting this good information. And they say, with mainstream media and establishment politicians stacked against him, from the moment he announced his run for the presidency, Donald J. Trump has been in an ongoing pitched battle to communicate his plans and his eventual successes to Americans. Through public rallies and social media, he has managed to bypass the traditional information gatekeepers and has spoken directly to the people. Yet Americans are subjected to a relentless drumbeat from the Democratic Party, you know, he says, amplified by virtually the entire establishment press, that Trump is not
only... Boy, is that spot
only,
on. Boy, is that yeah, right, folks. Just see it with regards to Roy Moore, for example. One source comes up with all these allegations, and everybody, except the WorldNet Daily, on. Liberty Roundtable Live, Breitbart, a couple of people, everybody's on board, right?
That's right. He goes on, they say virtually the entire establishment press that Trump is not only undisciplined, unfit for office, and possibly racist, but that embarrassingly little has been accomplished by the Trump administration. And while he has befuddled and disappointed some with major promises such as Obamacare repeal and a border wall unfulfilled or put on the back burner, the stunning reality is this: Donald Trump has amassed a long and remarkable list of actions and accomplishments that will surprise average Americans, even those who support the president and consider themselves well-informed politically.
Now, let me stop you there. And this yeah, points to the fact that the mainstream press doesn't cover it. Therefore, it's hard to get this news. Therefore, even the informed, even the backers of Trump don't even know about a lot of these things. That tells you a lot about what's really going on here. Now, I've been one of those that's been a little bit disenchanted. But again, it's that I really hope for so much. It's not that I mean to attack the Donald or anybody else. It's just that I hope we can really cross this Rubicon of having enough effort to make real change here. I mean, you get rid of the IRS or something significant, and I'll be singing praises. But I don't want to dismiss these things. And where's the mainstream press? Whether you agree or disagree with Donald Trump, I didn't vote for him. But we're willing to cover this fairly because we've got to cover the facts. We've got to cover the issues as fairly and as openly, as honest as we can. And when there's credit that is deserved or credit is due, I don't care who it is. We're ones to give it. We call good things good and bad things bad and do our best to do that every time accurately. Details about the 149 accomplishments in seconds from WND.com and Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
WND writes an incredible column about the 149 accomplishments of the Donald. They're keeping a list and checking it twice, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, when you look at this list, I mean, he goes clear back to November, clear through. You got November, October, you got each month and each section and group. For example, November, he says China trade. These are sections. Then he's got government transparency, international liberty, religious liberty, job growth, government reform. Those are all the sections for November so far. And then you got October, job growth, government reform. Under each one of these, it gives you the specific information, you know, like government reform part. He says Melania Trump, while embracing a more active and public schedule as first lady, is running one of the leanest East Wing operations in recent history. According to a Fox News analysis, a White House personnel reports that found she has significantly reduced the number of aides on the First Lady's office payroll in comparison to her predecessor, Michelle Obama.
Now, let me stop you there, Kurt, and say how epic this is, and I'll tell you why. You know, when Donald got started, they kind of mocked the First Lady that, oh, my gosh, she's not even going to ever be at the White House. This is weird. Donald's going to be there alone. This is weird. She doesn't really know what's going on. There's not really a role for the First Lady. Maybe the daughter will do it instead. She hasn't a clue what's going on. Now, that's just dishonest and unfair reporting, because you got a couple of people like Donald and his wife who have never been politicians. They've never been governors. They've never been, okay? So it's only logical that it would take a little bit for them to kind of, you know, hit their stride or whatever you want to call it. It's going to take a little bit for Melania to say, okay, I've got to adjust to this. Okay, now here's what I do. But when she does hit her stride, when she does get her act together, when she does put a staff together, and she's fulfilling that role, in my opinion, in a exemplary way, now they say nothing? Wow, this should be shouted from the rooftops as the way to get her done. How do we mirror the, quote, inexperienced person's example across all of government, Kurt? How do we take this example, you know, and make this the standard? Okay, but see, now they're just gone. Now they're too busy talking about, like, the daughter's dress or Roy Moore, or they're just off on some other attack tangent. But this is an epic, huge, in my opinion, shout from the rooftops news. The First Lady, who they claimed was clueless, now leads by example, Kurt. That would be my headline.
Well, that's right. And imagine if all the big, smart, you know, maybe leaders of all these other things could do the same thing. At least you're talking about doing the federal government expenditures at 39% of what they were before, because that's basically what, you know, well, Mrs. Trump is spending compared to what Mrs. Obama spent. 39%.
Sam, that's huge. Massive. So what's change. That? What's that discount then?
Well, that's 69, 71.
Oh, 71.
39 would
what's
be 61? 61.
61%
lower.
That's huge, folks.
That's a massive.
What if we did that all across the government? What if we just followed her example right across the board, Kurt, and said, look, so-and-so department, you're going to go ahead and just follow this example, get her done. I don't know how you're going to do it, but 61% gone.
Yeah,
bring it, folks.
Trump. Yeah.
Thank you, Melania.
And do you feel like, oh, probably nobody gets anything to eat with Melania? Probably nobody.
What are you
has
talking about? Americans will have so much more money in their pockets.
They don't
we're
have
gonna cut
pencils.
Expenditures to match this.
Yeah, I know. But what I mean is the budget itself, you know, they'll probably say something like, well, yeah, you know, with that rate, hey, there's just no help in the White House. You know?
Well, Donald might have to have cheeseburgers rather than caviar, Kurt. Donald won't mind. Yeah. He's all cool with that. That's what they criticized him on the campaign trail for. Right?
That's right.
That he ate like a an average Joe, Kurt. Imagine.
Yeah, and Mrs. Obama had 16 people listed on her thing, whereas, you know, Melania's got 4 taken care of.
I wonder
of
if that
business.
Means that Melania pays the women more than Michelle did. Just asking, just asking. All right, anyway, this is a huge long article, right, Kurt? I mean, when you cover all 149, it's massive.
Oh, yeah, there's just no way to do it. But, you know, you can, if you want the whole list, at least in my opinion, which is worth looking at, because a lot of people don't, you know, just don't get it. I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's there. It would be good to have. Good to look at. Good
well,
to
and it's
see.
Good to research from time to time, and it's good to really, in my opinion, keep track of this headline, because as the presidency goes forward, it's fair to understand the whole picture. I know it can get discouraging, and I'm guilty of this too, of looking at it and going, man, we're just not getting anything done. And in some ways, that still remains true. We're not getting enough done. That's for sure. However, let's not fall on the sword of pretending there are no accomplishments when it isn't true. Let's not do that. Let's deal with the truth. The big list of 149 Trump accomplishments, and it's growing. Isn't that the takeaway, Kurt?
Yes.
All right. Any other points to make of this? I know it's huge. You can't do it all, but you might have a couple of highlights.
I mean, all right. if you want to get them, ladies and gentlemen, you just go to WorldNet Daily and look up 149 accomplishments.
And Kurt, in his spare time for Thanksgiving, up. Is going to go ahead and figure out his favorite 5 kind of thing.
Man,
how does that sound, Kurt?
It's just massive, you know.
Well, what would 10% be, Kurt?
14.9.
All right, so we'll just have you do, you know, less than 3%.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
As you see, I'm just the reason I paint that like that is just to show how big it really is.
Yeah.
Now, there's another headline that says express gratitude, and I think that relates to this very topic a little bit, Kurt.
I agree, you know, and you look at this thing, WorldNet Daily has started a, you know, a way that basically they say people can go ahead and thank the president for his efforts. And, you know, I mean, this is the kind of stuff you just don't see from the Washington Post and New York Times.
I hear that. But you just know. Imagine, you know, thanking the first lady. Highlighting the 149 positive things that are happening, and then running around and writing a headline and creating a way that Americans can express gratitude to President Trump for his first year accomplishments. This is almost a page out of our playbook, Kurt, of being positive and caring for people and bringing people together and expressing gratitude and appreciation and finding solutions. And man, if they keep this up, they won't even be allowed to be in the press, will they, Kurt?
Well, and Sam, some folks are jumping on the bandwagon. Apparently, you know, from Fox News, you got Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham that have promoted this idea like we have. You know, the headline reads, Fox News Channel hosts Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham were among the promoters of WorldNet Daily's Thank Trump card campaign.
Well, good for them.
Ingraham, the host on the... new Fox show called The Ingraham Angle, as well as a daily radio show, tweeted a link to WorldNet Daily's story on the campaign, expressed gratitude for the president for first-year accomplishments.
It's just tremendous.
You know, Hannity, yeah, I mean, so this is the kind of stuff. The goal, Michael Farah says there at WorldNet Daily, is to get millions of Americans participating in the campaign in a genuine display of sincere thanks and encouragement to Trump and his team for a breathtaking record of accomplishment in the face of unprecedented adversity and enraged opposition from Democrat politicians. And he adds, the entrenched Washington establishment, what Trump calls the fake news media and street thugs, some paid and some violent, who have sought to disrupt and subvert the will of the people. So, you know, it's a pretty cool little thing, I think, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, we bring this up because, you know, it is Thanksgiving time, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. I know it's next week. We'll be live next week. Tomorrow I'm taking off. We're going to repeat today's show tomorrow because I think it's so relevant for the tax reform discussions that we've had with Pete. Sep, I think it's appropriate to talk about these Roy Moore allegations. You know, I still challenge Sean and others stand up. So we're going to repeat the tomorrow's show, or today's show tomorrow, too. But all I'm telling you is we'll be back live Monday. And all I'm telling you is we can make a difference, folks, in America. And this is the big takeaway from today. We can stand on principle. We can bend a little bit for the greater good. We can find solutions and work together. We can highlight good things everywhere. And we've got an incredible story that I want to highlight. I don't want to talk about it now, but you got a bunch of people in the private sector doing a bunch of things for the homeless and for the people who are cold and suffering. It's a Utah story. We'll get into it on Monday more. But I'm telling you right now, good people are doing good things everywhere, from the people that are funding Liberty News Radio and helping us expand. By the way, if you want to be one of those, libertynewsradio.com, donate today. To the listeners of Liberty Roundtable Live and the Political Cesspool Radio programs, along with all the other syndicated programs we're involved with, we believe radio to be one of the great answers. To the point of people backing the Give Me Liberty Fund, bringing businesses and individuals together and promoting good, great constitutional causes. To the people that are working on this epic event tonight at the Larry H. Miller Free Enterprise Auditorium, if you will, Free Enterprise Center Auditorium. Okay, it's tonight. Doors open at 6. Event starts at 7. Two speakers, Jeanine Hansen and Scott Bradley. And they're going to be talking about how to start an Article 5, how to stop an Article 5 convention. We want to reject a con. Stand strong for the Constitution.com, highlighting the coalition that's been built in Utah, encouraging folks across the country to engage in like-minded activities. Okay, there's good things going on all over, folks. And you know what? We need to highlight them. We need to bring them to your attention. We need to actively engage ourselves in great causes everywhere, because that's going to make America great again. It starts with making America moral again, and we hope to be humble participants in this great solution. It's all about the American people and what we can do together, and about everybody finding their talents and getting involved in ways that are productive and helpful. Some fund us, some talk, some write, some hold conferences, some speak, some, we all just do what we can do. Some help the homeless. Some go ahead and document the 149-plus positive things that Donald's done. Others create gratitude campaigns of appreciation for bringing people together and finding solutions. And boy, are we involved in it all, ladies and gentlemen. Ground Zero starts with you and me. And together it's we and the one. The power of one becomes two, then the few, then the many. And before you know it, as Donald called it, we have a movement to make America moral and make America great again. Our prayers are for America. This nation shall endure.